pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the scriptures this morning, let your word burn within us. Open our ears and our hearts that we may hear the message that you have for each of us today. Amen. Those that were here last week would remember me saying that I love baptisms. I love seeing people dedicate themselves and their beautiful children to God. Now last week we looked at the baptism of the Lord, and we looked at baptism today, and we realised that baptism is not an end in itself, but a beginning of a new life with Christ. It's a response to meeting Jesus. It's a response to truly recognising who Jesus is. Regardless of our age and our stage in life, it's a beginning. It's a beginning of a new walk, a new life in union with Jesus. But how do people come to meet Jesus in the first place, to have this response? Did you know that less than 3% of non-Christian people will just walk into a church? Less than 3%. How did you first start coming to church? Did someone just say something that made you think it might be worthwhile? Did something happen in your life that made you want to search for something? Today the passage kicks off with Jesus in the middle of calling his disciples. And it challenges us to truly consider who Jesus is and what our response will be. So we're going to look at three things today. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I love that line. Reaching out like Philip and seeing ourselves and others as Jesus does. So can anything good come out of Nazareth? What was it about Jesus that caused people to believe in him and follow him? Our text simply tells us that Jesus issued a two-word command, follow me. And Philip dropped everything to follow him. In the passage immediately before this, we see Andrew and Peter leave John the Baptist to follow Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see time and time again, person after person coming into contact with Jesus and having their hearts and their lives transformed. But what is it about this carpenter, Jesus from Nazareth, that has this kind of effect on people? He exudes authority. He exudes the authority of God. It's a phrase that's repeated in all the Gospels. For he taught them as one as having authority, not like the leaders and the scribes. And when the Roman centurion came to Jesus to heal his suffering servant, and Jesus said, shall I come with you? The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he does, and that one, come, and he does. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. This Roman centurion, amongst all others, understood that when Jesus spoke, when Jesus taught, when Jesus gave a command, he was issuing the very word of God. So when Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip only had to say, come and see. When Nathanael did come and meet Jesus, he saw his authority. He saw Jesus for who he was. And he let go of all doubt. And he professed, you are the Son of God. Now, implicit in this passage is a real challenge for us as a church and individually as Christians. If people do come and see, what will they find? The love of Christ in action? A sense of God changing lives? Will they have an experience of worship that gives them access to God? Will they feel his presence amongst us? Will they go away with a sense of excitement that there is something going on at St. Luke's? And these are questions not just about Sunday, but they're about everybody in everything we do every day. Is Jesus at the centre of St. Luke's? Is Jesus at the centre of your life? And these are all really good questions for our regulars of St. Luke's as we finish up and roll out our ministry action plan. The second thing was reaching out like Philip. Does anyone know our mission statement? As a hint, it's on the front page of the parish pew sheet. To know the redeeming power of Christ and to make him known to others. And that is exactly what this passage challenges us to do. As soon as Philip became a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus, he started to make him known to others. Verse 45 tells us that Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What do we notice here? Philip didn't think that he needed a theological education. He didn't think that he needed to deepen his personal walk. The first thing he did, being a disciple of Jesus, was go and tell somebody else what he had seen and heard. So the first rule of being a disciple is pretty easy. Tell other people about Jesus. And this is where people usually look at me and go, "It's fine for you, Jen, but people knock us back." And that can happen. They knock me back too, by the way. Heads up. It can happen. And look at what Philip came running over to Nathanael. He was passionate. He was excited. He was sharing the good news. Only to be met with cynicism. Sometimes when we tell people about Jesus, we are met with cynicism, rudeness, apathy, and it can hurt, yeah? But when it happened to Philip, he didn't get into some theological debate, did he? He didn't run off with his tail between his legs. He just turned around and said, "Come and see." So what we can learn from Philip about bringing people to Jesus is that we need to invite them. There was an international survey of churches recently that found that 3/4 of churchgoers came to church the first time because they were invited. Unfortunately, the same survey found that 54% of people had not invited anyone to church in the last year. Explains a little bit about the state of our churches in Australia, doesn't it? Apparently a lot of Christians just don't invite people to come and see. So why would Philip do this when many Christians today don't? Well, part of the reason is that Philip believed that Jesus was worth knowing. Jesus was the promised Messiah, the one sent by God to change the lives of his people. And Philip loved Nathanael too much to have him miss out on that. Often today people come to church because it's what Christians do. It's what we've always done, rather than because we realise the eternal significance of what we're into. Greg Laurie, who's one of my favourite preachers, once said, "If there's a fire in your house and you had 6 family members inside that house, how many would you have to get out before you were satisfied?" Philip truly saw the significance of what he had found. The second reason that Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus was because he didn't know any better. As I said, he didn't think he needed a theological degree. He didn't think he needed to construct complicated theological arguments. He was so excited about Jesus that he just didn't care. When Philip approached Nathanael, he didn't get tied up in theological jargon. He simply says, "We found the Messiah. Come and see." And then he takes Nathanael to Jesus. It's a little bit like the country kid who moves into town and gets up really early one morning, so full of enthusiasm. And Mum says, "Go outside and play for a while, will you?" And 20 minutes later, he comes running back in and he says, "Mummy, Mummy, every house in the street's got a doorbell. And they all work." You see, Philip brought people to Jesus because he was so excited about what he found. It didn't occur to him that he just shouldn't do stuff like that. And because it didn't occur to him, he changed people's lives forever. Now, Jesus saw the potential in people. An author by the name of Robert Schuller wrote, "Anyone can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only a rare and wonderful person can count the number of apples in a seed." And Jesus had this ability. Verses 47 and 48, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he saw a faithful Jew, a man without deceit. After all, I mean, he had just voiced his cynicism, hadn't he? So he was not hiding anything. But was Nathanael without flaw? No. But Jesus saw in him an evangelist, a missionary, one of the future leaders of his church, a seed with many apples. Jesus saw the person God intended Nathanael to be. Not the cynical, imperfect person walking towards him. And it's not isolated. In the Bible, it tells us that this is how God works. Throughout the Bible, we find imperfect people who Jesus enables and empowers to work out his plans in the world. Abraham was too old. Timothy, too young. Jacob, a liar. David, an adulterer and a murderer. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. And Peter denied Christ. God took each of these imperfect people and empowered them and used them. And he does the same with us. No matter our history, no matter our physical ability, no matter our age, he sees you for who you are and he loves you. He loves you anyway, despite the flaws. And Jesus sees your potential. He calls you into a deeper relationship with him. He will use you mightily if you will let him. Likewise, we need to see beyond people's backgrounds, their history, or their current circumstances, and look for the potential that Jesus sees. We need to invite them to come and see. We need to introduce them to Jesus. And we need to enable Jesus to use them, which means we have to get out of the way. As I said at the start of this passage really challenges us to consider who Jesus is and what our response should be. William Temple, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote a commentary on John's Gospel. And when Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus, he simply wrote, "The greatest service that one person can render to another." So the parents and godparents of Sonny and Susanna are doing this today. They recognise that Jesus is indeed Lord and Saviour, and they're responding in faith, and they're bringing these two precious children to begin the journey of discipleship. I love that God has looked into their hearts and moved them to stand publicly and declare, "Truly you are the Messiah, truly you are the Son of God." Nathanael was an apostle, a leader of the early church, a missionary, and an evangelist. You may not be able to do what Nathanael did, but you can do what Philip did, and you can bring someone to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you see us for who we are, and you love us anyway. Help each of us today to enjoy your gift of forgiveness and the fullness of life that you promise through the Holy Spirit. Lord, take us deeper into our Christian walk with you. Help each of us to introduce others to you, to invite people to come and see. Amen.